Good afternoon on this beautiful Saturday, December 12th. On RadioSt.Pete.com, I'm Mike Rickard with the St. Pete Sports Connection. This is our fifth week as we are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill and broadcasting on RadioSt.Pete.com and in our sister station, Sunshine 96.7 FM. And as we like to say, each and every Saturday, I've been doing it for 18 years, we'll be covering sports from the Peewees to the Preps to Tampa Bay Downs with Bob Bauer, and he's going to do a live report. The third race of the day is a stakes race, $100,000. In fact, you will hear it on RadioSt.Pete.com regardless of whether we're having some technical issues down here. So that's the third race of the day. I don't know if you've ever been out to Tampa Bay Downs. I went for the first time, and I enjoyed myself thoroughly. But Bob Bauer will be on about 1:10, and it's a stakes race. It's $100,000, and you can hear his show each and every week right here on RadioSt.Pete.com as well. So let's continue with your story, young man.
Yeah, so like I said, this book is been a labor of love over the last 8 years. I started writing it while I was in Afghanistan, being a military contractor because, like I said, you work 12, 15 hours a day. And you need some kind of creativity at the end of the day to kind of unwind a little bit. So I did. I started writing, and I missed baseball so much when I was over there that it was just, let me write a fiction story.
How long were you there?
About a year, a little over a year. And so I missed the whole baseball season. You catch the World Series on the Armed Forces Network. They might have the All-Star game, stuff like that, some opening day. But day to day, I was missing baseball pretty bad. So I just kind of wrote this. It started off as a 5-page short story. I sent it to a couple friends, and now it turned into a 266-page novel.
Oh my! This was originally a 5-page.
Was a 5-page story. Some friends hit me up and was like, "That's it. Like, I need to know more about this character. I need to know more about what's going on here." So you dive into the relationships and the backstories and everything, and you end up with 266 printed pages and an actual, true life, not true life, but a real novel that I can hold in my hands and read. And it's been an awesome experience.
Let's talk about the creativity of it. And how you came up with this unique concept that a pitcher sell. I'm sure a lot of pitchers like to sell their soul to the devil and then renege on it later on. But explain that portion of it for you.
So that was that's an interesting question. So I've always been a blues fan. So the deal with the devil, the crossroads, the old Robert Johnson motif, something I've always been interested in. For a long, long time. And so and having this. This young pitcher, and the story's about a young pitcher who hurts his arm in his final high school game, and shades of Tony Saunders, who pitches former Devil Ray, Dave Dravecki, who's a former Giant back in the late 80s, and their arms just career-ending injuries on the mound. And I said, that is a perfect tie-in. Like, I've got this guy, he hurts his arm in his last game. If he wants to get back into the game, what's the biggest risk he could possibly take? And that's selling his soul. So he goes down to the crossroads, and the devil's like, "Hey, it's going to cost you."
Explain the crossroads portion to me.
All right, so the crossroads in the old in the blues folklore is the old dirt crossroads in Mississippi, and it kind of goes back to the Robert Johnson 1920s, 1940s when blues was kind of the big thing. But you had a lot of unknown artists, and they just kind of show up out of nowhere, being able to play guitar or whatever to the because you never heard of them. There was obviously no social media, no websites. So you could be a completely unknown person traveling from bar to bar. And then you hit a big city and people are like, we've never heard of you before. So Robert Johnson, as the story goes, played in a few bars and was just not very good. And then disappeared for a while. Kind of went down to the crossroads. The rumor has it he went down to the crossroads. He sold his soul to the devil. And he came back, and he was much more well-known because he had this skill. Now, whether or not he just took some time and actually practiced and actually learned his skill is a whole other story. But he got astronomically good to the point where he influences Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, Led Zeppelin, all these great bands that we know today all come from him.
And that was the inspiration of your content here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This picture, it's same kind of story. Comes out of nowhere, and he's rural Mississippi. So the book starts in rural Mississippi, and he ends up playing for the St. Pete Saints. So,
St. Pete Saints?
Right, what you know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I like that.
So, And, you know, I looked up St. Pete Saints, and, of course, we've had some Little League teams be the St. Pete Saints. We had a minor league team here in the 1950s called the St. Pete Saints. And I thought, how ironic is it that we have a player who made a deal with the devil play for the Saints?
And they had the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Yep, Devil Rays. Why do you want to use the real names?
No.
I wanted to avoid copyright and
how
trademark.
How long were you in Afghanistan?
14 months. 14 months. So this took about 14 months, the really, really rough draft.
I admire you. There's been some situations in my life where I was isolated, and I certainly, and I like to write. I couldn't hold a candle to you. I used to do magazines back in the Midwest and a lot of columns over the years on the internet and my magazines, but I've always had a passion for writing, and I thoroughly enjoy anyone that has the creativity. I can just BS, if you will.
Right.
Mine just rolls off, but you had to have some real thought.
There is a lot of real thought, because what I found it easy, and a lot of people have asked me this, and it is doing an outline. Where do I want the character to go from A to Z? You know, where does he start? Where does he finish? And then what happens in the beginning? What are those main points? Like, what's the point that happens at, like, E? And what's that point, big thing that happened at M and R? You know, and then the little parts in the between are the fillers in the character development side. So, you know, he has a relationship with a girlfriend, and he has a relationship with his grandmother. So what are those things that kind of propel him from point A to point D, and from point D to point H? You know, so I know he wants to get to Z, but how do I get him there?
You know, don't take offense to this. When this came together, I thought, oh, fiction. I'm not a real fiction reader.
Right.
With the exception, I almost brought the book. You're familiar with the writer Rick Riley from Sports Illustrated?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, Rick Riley wrote a fictional book about he and his buddies growing up in Jersey and hacking it around a Muni golf course, and it's hilarious.
Okay.
I don't know if you're much of a golf fan, but this would draw you in just because of the humor between all these guys. And I thought about that this morning as I was preparing for the show. But now you've got me intrigued, and I certainly I think I'll be reading that in a day or two.
Oh, for sure. And I definitely curious your thoughts. You know, the thing about a book is it has a long tail to it. So right now the book was published November 4th. It was the first day I went and picked it up.
Oh,
so
just recently.
Just recently. And so this is really my first initial marketing push, if you will. Yeah, you know, and it takes people time to read 266 pages. So,
well, unfortunately, in today's world, I don't know, maybe with COVID this has changed. But, you know, I'm a print guy. I get the newspaper each and every day.
Okay.
I'm not going to read, you're young. I'm not going to reach it. I'm not going to read it on the internet. I've got everything, you know, I need to do so. But I just love, you know, at 64 years of age, I love the old field paper.
Yep.
I love reading books. So I was curious as to whether the success of getting it launched was a tougher process than typical.
You know what? I have my publisher, Legacy Book Publishing out of Winter Park, Florida. He's an old-fashioned print guy.
Great.
So I definitely wanted that physical. Now, it's not on Amazon yet. I'm talking to him about trying to get it on.
I saw that on your website, that it's coming.
It's coming. It's coming. And the thing is that Amazon takes their share. So when you deal straight with the publisher takes his part, I take my part.
Well, you had your dream, and now you got to pay the devil.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to deal,
got it accomplished.
If you want to deal with Jeff Bezos, you got to deal. You got to pay Jeff Bezos
on his terms.
Oh yeah. So we're trying to get the initial push from the publisher's website, and so he does. You know, so we can order it from there, and that's Legacy Book Publishing. So we've got a Florida publisher, a Florida writer, you know, supporting local, you know, local arts both ways. So we do want to put it on Amazon, and when it goes on Amazon, it'll be digital. Because I know there's people that read on their Kindles and their Nooks
exactly.
And all that stuff. And
yep.
Definitely,
the majority of the younger population does now.
Yeah.
I know all my kids do.
And then eventually down the road, it might be after the holidays, I definitely want to do audio.
Really? I used to do a lot of driving in the Midwest, and I embraced audio then. But now, you know, I got plenty of time.
Yep.
I live down on the beach. I play a little music, a lot of music, and then I read, you know, hours at a time.
Yep.
Typically, I'll print products, but, yeah, I'm going to take this to the beach and knock it out in a couple days this coming week. I'm sure of that.
I'm definitely excited to hear what you think. There is a lot of music influences. If you're into classic rock, you know those classic rock blues
well,
influences.
Look at my age, 64. What do you think?
Oh, of course.
That's
of course.
A tough call on my demographic.
Yeah, of course.
But we have you're going to need to start listening to the station. It's Sunshine 96.7 FM.
96.7,
it
got
has it. Blues hours. Oh, yeah. It has all local musicians.
Okay.
I mean, I stream it down the, I live down Sunset Beach over on the Gulf. But and it's great for our neighborhood because we call our neighborhood Saltwater Hippies. And 96.7 is right up your alley, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
So go online and look at it. We got blues. We've got local. There's jazz.
Okay.
And Francis does a superb job on that station. And I'll tell you what, that's where the future of this is going. And I want to get more involved in that aspect of it. Go to live venues and see some. The local musician talent around here.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's amazing. Being from Des Moines, Iowa, and my son's a musician, I've always been. That was actually my passion, but I can't sing in the shower and I can't play chopsticks. However, my children all have some, well, with the exception of one, he's as bad as the old man, have some level of talent. And one of my son's been in bands, so I really have an understanding and sympathy for these guys trying to make it.
Oh yeah,
and get published, you know, music wise. So you go through the same thing in the publishing business.
Yeah, and that's why I've been happy and blessed to have a full time job where I can. Talk to
full
the publishers.
Time, yeah, sounds you know. Like it's pretty intense.
So
it sounds like it's real intense.
Getting out there, you know, doing overseas travel and all that stuff. And so I've been able to connect with the creatives here in Tampa Bay, which has been awesome. You know, I know I did some freelance music writing for the Tampa Bay Times. So to get to know some of the talent here, it's been about 10 years, so I'm a little out of the loop on who's who and what's what. But just to talk to them, be like, hey, what's your hustle? You know, because it is undoubtedly a hustle.
Well, what I should do, and we'll get our information, which I have most of it, I'm going to get you in contact with Francis Kolb over 96.7. In fact, there's a little place right up the street here in Central called The Hideaway.
Okay.
And it's just a little hole in the wall, and they have great music there, and they're one of the underwriters of some of the music that's played on 96.7. So that's another area where we can use your talents.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So what is your goal with this? Was there a goal, or you had all this creative thought? Did you have this idea for years in your head, or just came to you when you're in the war torn world of Afghanistan?
It really just kind of came to me there. You know, like I said, it started off as a five page novel or a five page short story, and it just kind of grew from there. And you know, the development of the five page novel, I think, was probably sitting in my head for years because I'm such a big blues fan, such a big baseball fan, that it was almost like chocolate and peanut butter. You know, let's put it together and make Reese's Pieces or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. And I was really, really shocked that nobody had done this before. You know, and you know, you mentioned there are certain demographics where they grew up with baseball, where baseball was the number one sport and classic rock was, you know, or rock at the time, you know, blues-based rock was the number one thing on the radio. So to put those two things together, I've never seen it done. And I was like, well, I'm just going to keep rolling with it.
Well, you are a pioneer in that respect.
I appreciate that.
You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection here on RadioSt.Pete.com. And we're talking to the author, Michael Lortz of Curveball at the Crossroads. And if you're sitting at home, if I could speak, curveball at my tongue, at thecrossroads.com, right?
Curveball at thecrossroads.com. That's it.
Well, young man, where'd you grow up at? You grew up in Florida.
I was born in New York, but like most kids in the 80s, we moved down to Florida. My dad was in government contracting, so you know I kind of continuing the family business there. I grew up on the East Coast, the Melbourne Beach area. So Melbourne, Cocoa Beach, that's home to me.
I like that area a lot.
Yeah, it's nice.
How do you like the St. Pete area? Well, I saw your picture. You must go to quite a few Rays games.
I do. I go to quite a few. You know, I used to have the Friday season ticket package, which was fantastic. You go to Friday, you know, go to your Friday home games, and if they're on the road on the weekends, you would go on to the Tuesday, or a game right when they got back. Try to go to at least a game or two a month.
Well, I work for the Ted Williams Foundation,
okay,
and they're housed over at the Trop. And last year, well, as a baseball fan, you can appreciate this. We go to all the spring parks, and we do fundraising. So we're at Spectrum. We were at, have you ever been up to see the
park? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great park. We were up there, I think it was March. It was the day before St. Patrick's Day when we got the call.
and this is the last game we're doing. And it was just so deflating. And I'm sure as a fan, it certainly was for, you know, myself, because I'd been in sports so many years, and there was an opportunity to dive back into it with Dave McCarthy and the staff, and then I would have worked at the Trop all season long. And then, of all the seasons, can you imagine the fun that would have had with this series? And the economic impact, unfortunately, for the whole world of St. Pete was terrible. We set up down here during the World Series. And had a little bit of fun. But just imagine.
Oh, it would have been nuts. It would have,
you have paid for a ticket?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was at the 2008 World Series. I went to one game. I was upper deck, and at the time it was $125 a ticket. So, I knew what my financial limits. I would have probably sat in the upper deck again.
but still, you would have been at the game.
Oh, I would have been at a game. I would have been here at Ferg's for at least two or three other games, at least.
You get that feel when you're at Ferg's. That's one thing Mark and I talk about quite often is on game day. And when I moved here in 2017, I helped him during game day and sat, the Red Sox. Believe it or not, I'm a Yankee fan being from Iowa. My grandfather, you were born in New York.
Yep.
My grandfather was a Yankee fan, so I'm a loyalist.
Okay.
But then I went to work for the Cubs in the 90s, their AAA club. So all my kids are Cubs fans. But since I moved down here and I see what this fan base goes through, and I see the barrage of Yankee and Red Sox fanatics come down here and just act like they own the place.
Yep.
I've started to lean more towards the Rays. And if you remember 2008, a young man from Des Moines, Iowa, he was the rookie of the year, Jeremy Hellickson.
Nope.
Do you remember Jeremy?
Oh, yeah.
The pitcher? Yeah, I know his family, his grandfather, everybody very, very well.
Okay.
So we kind of got on that bandwagon in Iowa.
Yep.
Following one of our own. But, it was unfortunate this year that they didn't play baseball. Last week, you would have enjoyed the conversation. I had Jeff Lance from Minor League Baseball.
Okay.
He's the senior communications director. I might want to introduce you to him. And he's going to do the show from time to time, and you're more than welcome, too. You're very articulate, more so than I. I should mute my mic and let you just carry the show.
I appreciate that. Definitely.
But, I'm not going to let you do it, though. anyway.
Well, if you ever need a day off, you let me know.
When you're old, I'll just have you and Jeff do it. When you're old, I used to tell all my young Drake University interns, they're going to have to pry the mic out of my old carcass because I'm not giving up the mic because then Mike, not on the mic. My energy level goes down, and now I'm re-energized, and I enjoy these conversations like this. But so we talked to him, and of course they had the winter meetings this past week. And I said, "Tell me, what are you hearing? Are we going to have spring training? Is the season going to take place?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "The plan right now is to roll out at all the training camps. AA guys will come in later. They're going to stage it, which makes sense. So, you know, like over at George Steinbrenner, there'll be 200 players crammed in there typically every year.
Right.
Now they're going to stage it, and you'll have the AAA and AA guy and the Major League guys. Then they'll start the season, probably with reduced crowds, but some semblance like they're doing with the NFL and the NBA's planning on doing.
Right. No, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense. I think our first athletic COVID positive was a Yankees farmhand, and that I only live a few miles from Steinbrenner and Ray J, all that stuff in that in the West Tampa area, and I was like, if we've got ball players catching it, and as you said, it basically is like a dormitory type of atmosphere there for some of the lower ranks.
Well, if you remember, and I'm not going to go into detail because we like to talk positive things on the St. Pete Sports Connection, but back in the day, and you live in that neighborhood. That's a little seedy in that area down by George Steinbrenner.
Yeah.
Some of the players happen to venture into the wrong places from time to time.
Oh, yeah. I walked into one of those places just recently to just see a friend of mine.
Sure you did.
And, yeah,
how'd
of course.
She look?
Of course. Oh, yeah.
How is your friend looking these days?
Oh, outstanding. But it was 2019 in there. The social distancing really wasn't as practiced as it should have been. And I was like, all right, well, let me just grab my one drink.
And get the hell out of here.
And get out of there. But like you said, the odds that a young ball player could get too close, not social distance well as he should, is pretty high.
Here's my concern is, and I just don't understand it. These young men are making enormous amounts of money, and I don't care what the sport is.
Right.
And even collegiately, there's so much on the line. Why would going out and partying be that important? I understand you think you're invincible at that age. However, with all the protocol, doesn't matter if you get ill. The minute they catch it, you're impacting your teammates. And I remember a lot of the spring camps, some of the veterans were pissed off at the younger players because they knew they were out hitting the bars and women chasing them. I said, listen, I'm a family man. I'm in my 30s. I don't want to take this home. There was a lot of problems in the locker rooms over that because of their immaturity.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. You. But I think it's getting to kind of the point where you don't want to be the one. Oh, you know, you don't want to be embarrassed.
You'll be in the media.
Yeah, you don't
want. Look at the Denver Broncos quarterbacks. You see that story?
All four of them were out.
Yeah, those buffoons thought they were fine. It doesn't matter. None of them really got sick. But when they did the testing, what do you think the NFL is going to do?
Oh, cancel game.
Shut
them down.
And my son's he lives in Denver, and he goes to most of the Broncos games. He said, I've never seen anything so ridiculous in my life. Those boobs, not realizing the impact they're going to have. And then I watched that poor kid. I used to have season tickets to the Broncos in the 80s. So I felt for that young kid that hadn't quarterbacked since he's like a sophomore in college. You see any of that play?
No, I didn't catch the game.
Like
I heard the story,
though. Taking a snap. Well, no, we'd be crushed. But it was absolutely horrific. We're at the top of the hour. You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection on RadioSt.Pete.com. And I'm having a great conversation with Michael Lortz. I was a little nervous on where we were going to go today. We're going to take a little break at 1:10 to go to Tampa Bay Downs. Will you stick around?
Oh, absolutely. I'm here.
Yeah, I'll buy you some wings when we get done here at 2 o'clock. But I will tell you one thing we're going to do. You know, when you're scrambling to try to put a show together at the last minute, did you see that Dr. Cannabis?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I went and talked to the it's Dr. Cannabis. It's mobile medical marijuana. And Bob Contout, he is going to send over. Did you see those two Santas that came by?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they're easier on their eyes than you and I.
Yeah, for sure. They were definitely red, and they had a little bit of green to them, too.
So we're going to have a couple of ladies from Dr. Cannabis, C-A-N-N-A-B-U-S, and he has a bus right here in the parking lot at Ferg's. Of course, Ferg's, you know, he's almost like P.T. Barnum. He's got something going on all the time, and that's what makes this place. I love this place.
Yep.
I live about 16, 17 minutes from here. You make a little bit of a haul, my friend.
I'm on the other side of the bridge. Like I said, I'm over by Raymond James Stadium. So,
well, I really appreciate you making the trek today. I'm going to real quickly go over the games that are on television today here at Ferg's. The ones of note, not that anyone with the exception of my family. And we do have three listeners, my mom and my sister and her husband in town, and then Joe Berdow. So don't worry, there are people listening.
All right, well, so hello to them.
Wisconsin Badgers at the Iowa Hawkeyes. Big game for us Hawks. I got to get that out of the way. Duke at Florida State. We can talk about your Florida State Seminoles if you want, but Ferg graduated from there. His son Jake will introduce you. Do you know Jake?
I haven't met Jake.
Yeah, he graduated from there recently.
Okay.
All they want to talk about is basketball now.
Oh, yeah. We're a basketball school.
Yeah.
Basketball and women's sports.
You guys are dandies. but Leonard Hamilton has done a superb job.
Oh, yeah.
And Florida State played earlier today.
They're on. It should be almost wrapping up right now.
Yeah, exactly. It was 11 o'clock tip.
Yep.
We'll try to get you that score while we travel out to Tampa Bay Downs with Bob Bauer. And then LSU. Florida, that's typically steamroll them, and it's amazing. As I said, Florida State basketball is on right now, and the big game at 3 o'clock, Navy at Army. Doesn't matter if you have any affiliation. This young man does, of course.
Go Army,
and the passion. Roger Staubach, who won the High School Game Day right after Lee Corso, had a couple of elderly gentlemen with a lot of passion and enthusiasm. 1972, I'm a snot-nosed sophomore in high school. I go out to, it was the FCA Camp of the Rockies in Estes Park. Okay. Roger Staubach is just a devout Christian, great human being. He's throwing passes, the guys. You get in line, right? You're up in the Rockies. Guy in front of me, he's my bunk mate. He says, do a post. And it, just out of muscle memory, he zips it, breaks the kid's nose. I'm next. I'm scared to death. And he's going to be okay. He said, he looks over at me, just lofts it like my mom could have thrown the pass. And I'm like, I'm not that big a wimp. That's my Roger Staubach memory.
That's awesome.
From years gone by. But so that game's on at 3 o'clock. Most of the country will be watching that. It's on CBS, I'm certain. And then tomorrow, of course, You've got the Minnesota Vikings taking on the Tampa Bay Bucks. Are you a Bucks fan too?
I follow the Bucks. You know, I'm not as huge of an NFL fan probably as I should be, even though I live within walking distance of Raymond James. But no, I definitely do follow the Bucks. So
okay, so you live how far? I'm doing a little research here.
About 2 miles. 2 miles.
Too far.
East of
I was gonna
Ray J,
set up a radio show remote on Super Bowl Sunday from your place, sell tickets.
No, it's a little far for that, but I can
we
walk.
We can set up a shuttle.
Yeah, absolutely.
we'll set up something in your parking lot and do a show from there. Actually, we're trying to effort some kind of opportunity to be outside the stadium, the St. Pete Sports Connection, and that would be fun.
Yeah, if
and
you need, I'll walk over for sure.
Well, it'd be nice if we were a big enough entity to get media passes as I did back in the Midwest, but I think that even a media pass with this COVID situation is going to be tough for the Super Bowl. But they've done a superb job of hosting the Super Bowl. Okay, in about 4 minutes, as I mentioned, we are going to Tampa Bay Downs. And Bob Bauer, he was on my first show, I believe. He's a handicapper, and he has a show here on RadioSaintPete.com. Great guy. I went out one time. You said you haven't been out? You haven't been in Tampa Bay Downs?
No, I have not.
You got to go out for the experience.
Okay.
Just the experience. And, you know, I was betting $2, $4, a couple races. I ended up, my girlfriend and I walked out of there. I had $12 ahead.
All right.
And I blew the pick that Bob gave me. I bet I took the pick and put it on the wrong race.
Ah.
Now, that's genius. So we'll have him on with that. It's a stakes race, $100,000. And it's certainly... it's exciting out there. I'm looking forward to going out from time to time. Then when we come back, you and I'll continue our conversation. We'll bring over the Lady Santa Claus girls. They can talk about Dr. Cannabis. We'll go over some of the scores. I'll have you Google to see how your Seminoles are doing against the
Gators.
That's a big game. Last night in the state of Iowa. Doesn't matter what the. Did you go to high school here then?
Yeah, I went to, well, not in the Tampa Bay area, in the Melbourne area, O'Galley High School. Same high school as Tim Wakefield and Prince Fielder.
Really?
Yep.
Were you on the surf team?
Did they have no.
Did they have high school surfing?
Probably the closer to the beach. I was a little bit inland, about 15 miles inland. So, you know, I don't know if the coastal, the Cocoa Beach or something like that area would have a. Would have a surf team, maybe an informal surf team. You know, they got some T-shirts or something.
It just makes sense.
Yeah.
They would. And as I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned the Miami North Carolina game. That's a big game.
Oh yeah.
Miami, of course, having a great season. They're in the top 10. North Carolina. I'm Catholic, so I got to go here too. My Fighting Irish, Notre Dame, number 2 in the country. That was a big game, and Mack Brown has done a superb job of turning the program that he was at the helm previously, and so that's a game. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Miami Hurricanes down here.
Good afternoon, racing fans, and welcome to the Radio St. Pete coverage of the race of the day from Tampa Bay Downs in Oldsmar, Florida. We have double-barreled stakes action today, a double feature starting the third race today. We have a $100,000 stakes race, and we have another one coming up in race 7. Right now, we're going to look at the field for the Marion County, Florida Sire Stakes. $100,000 on the line for Florida Breds, 3-year-olds and up. Have a very contentious field of 7 here. You can make a case for almost anybody you like and get a price on them, too. Number 1, Lord Barna at 20-1. Big long shot. From the Kathleen O'Connell barn. Kathleen O'Connell is one of the best trainers in Florida. Harry Hernandez takes the mount. 22-1 right now on this one. Heck of a price if you like them. Number 2, Legal Deal. 7-1 on this runner. Trainer is Carlos David. Jesus, the Smoking Gun Castanon, has the mount. This one is a handy winner on November 14th at Gulfstream Park West, going 6 furlongs in a slop. He's never gone the 7-furlong distance, but he's in good shape. I think he's got a chance to get in the exacta, and we'll keep an eye on number 2, Legal Deal. Number 3, Chivalry is taking some support from the public at 9-2. Roberto Alvarado Jr. takes the mount for trainer Ralph Nix. Jockey Alvarado Jr. has given a good account of himself at Tampa Bay Downs. He just came here for the first time when the track opened a couple weeks ago, and he's won 7 races already. And Chivalry has had dull form lately, but she's worked out pretty well at Gulfstream Park, and we'll see what she does here at Tampa. Number 4, Old Time Revival at 19-1, is another one from the Kathleen O'Connell barn. Hector Diaz Jr. takes the mount. And watch for this one to come bouncing out of the gate and try to steal the race. Has a world of early speed, but he's going to have some company. That's his only problem here. 20-1 on Old Time Revival. You get 20-1 on both Kathleen O'Connell runners. That's really something here. If you like her, she's a great trainer. Number 5, My Boy Lenny at 7-1 comes from the barn of Gerald Bennett. Last season's leading trainer, Danny Centeno, 6-time champion Tampa jockey, takes the mount. He's ridden this one to victory before. And My Boy Lenny is a speedster. He'll be right up there on the engine too. Watch out for him early. If he gets the lead to himself, he could be long gone. Our favorite at 6-5 is number 6, Noble Drama. Leading jockey Sammy Camacho rides for Miami trainer David Fowkes. And this one is the one to beat. 6-5 on the board. Has big speed figures. Has a record of 1 win, 1 place out of 3 tries at Tampa. And watch out for this one. Can come off the pace and run him down late under Sammy Camacho. That's number 6, Noble Drama. And we close out the field with my choice today. Number 7, Jackson at 3-1.
David Fox is number 6. Noble Drama.
Jackson has a fabulous 3-for-3 record at Tampa. Really likes this track, and I think he's pointed for this race. His connections pointed him for it last year, and he won it, and I think he can win it again. 3-1, Antonio Guiardo rides number 7, Jackson. We're about ready for a start. Stand by for the call of legendary announcer Richard Grunder, the Dean of American Race Callers.
Jackson steps in. They're at the post. And they're up and running in the 4th renewal of the Florida Sire Stakes. My Boy Lenny showing his patented early speed away sharply and vying for the early lead. Up on the outside, Jackson comes away in good order. Second, Old Time Revival is there. Third, and the last race away, Lord Barna. They link up to the main track, and My Boy Lenny has the lead. Jackson, he's into the bit and now moves up on the outside. Now second, Old Time Revival is a close-up. Third, Chivalry attacks toward the rail. Fourth, then it's 2.5 lengths farther back. Legal Deal is now fifth. Then it's 3 lengths farther back to Lord Barna, sixth. And at this point, Noble Drama is absolutely last. He's about 10 lengths off the pace setter. Meanwhile, up front, My Boy Lenny has been set hard throughout, still has the lead. Jackson is poised and ready to pounce on the outside. Gallardo lets out a notch, and the veteran campaigner responds. 2 lengths farther back, Old Time Revival is now set down for the drive third. Chivalry is there toward the rail fourth, but meanwhile up front, it's Jackson. He still has the lead, and up on the outside, Old Time Revival runs at the leader second. My Boy Lenny is trying to battle back gamely toward the rail, but inside the final third on Jackson. And now Gallardo throws it across and has the lead, but Chivalry in full stride on the outside. Here comes Chivalry on the outside, running down. The favorite of Chivalry will go on to score in a mild upset at 5-1. Jackson the second, and Noble Drama will on to be third in the Marion County Stakes. 121.68 the running time.
And we have a mild upset in the Marion County Florida Sire Stakes. Number 3, Chivalry, came to run today. She had dull form for about the last year or so, but got it together today under Roberto Alvarado Jr. It's 2 races he's won today already. He's a heck of a jockey at Alvarado. Chivalry completed the 7 furlongs in a snappy 121.68/100 of a second over the fast Tampa Bay Downs turf course. Finishing second was number 7, Jackson. Noble Drama, number 6, the 6-5 favorite, checked in third. Old Time Drama at 23-1 rounds out the superfecta. And number 2, Legal Deal, completes the bet 5. The race has now been official. Stand by for payoffs and prices. Chivalry returned $13.60, $5.60, and $3.20. Jackson returned $4.40 and $2.60 for the place. Noble Drama returned $2.10 for the show. Chivalry is owned by Jacks or Better Farm Incorporated, trained by Ralph Nix. Once again, the winning jockey, Roberto Alvarado Jr. Racing fans are reminded, racing action will continue with the 7th race today, post time 3:20 p.m., and we'll have full coverage. Once again, the winner of number 3, Chivalry, $13.60 to win, $5.60 and $3.20. The $2 exacta, 3 and 7, returned $38. The $1 trifecta, 3.76, returned $40.70. That concludes our stakes coverage for the 3rd race at Tampa Bay Downs today. We now return you to Mike, the sports talk guy, coming to you live from Ferg's.
Welcome back to St. Pete Sports Connection. Mike Ricker alongside Michael Orr, and he has just launched his radio career, because I'm going to keep you in our mix on a consistent basis, my friend. You're doing a superb job. He is the author of Curveball at the Crossroads, and I'm looking forward to sitting on the beach, maybe a little Dr. Cannabis, and reading the book this weekend. But anyway, as I said, you're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection on RadioSt.Pete.com. Come on down to Ferg's, right here, 13th and Central. You can't miss it. Did you notice the big globe?
Oh, yeah.
The world famous? Okay, well, that used to be at the liquor store three blocks up the road. And what he's done is they demolished that. It's condos now. And, of course, Ferg, fortunate enough to pick it up. All right, my friend, you and I'll finish the show, but we've got two Santas right here in front of us that we need to get to. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk to Dr. Cannabis, but he's over minding the truck, taking care of business. And Bob seems like a super guy, but he's smart. He's smart from a marketing perspective. These ladies are easier on the eyes than Bob and I, a couple old dinosaurs. We've got Jenny and Kelly here, and whichever one of you want to go first.
Hi, everyone. It's a beautiful day in St. Pete.
Yeah. It's always a beautiful day in St. Pete. And that's Kelly, and this is Jenny.
It's Jenny, how are you guys? Happy holidays. We're down here with Dr. Cannabis. You have to come see us. We're in Ferg's parking lot where you can register. You can get your appointment online at drcannabis.com for your medical marijuana card. So we're here all day today. We've got Sir Herschel, the English Bulldog, who is super cute. And he's
oh,
our
my
mascot.
God.
Isn't he cute?
He's right in front. We're going to get some pictures for our social media. What's his name?
Sir Herschel Walker.
Oh, is it Georgia Bulldog?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I have been fortunate enough to meet Herschel Walker, and what a great human being. That guy is a cool cat and a badass
awesome.
in his 50s, I can assure you that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So talk a little bit about how you girls got involved with Bob and this Dr. Cannabis.
Absolutely. So Kelly's actually my neighbor, and we started working together. We go out, we do promotions, and we go to different venues to set up for different types of events where people can register online, get your medical marijuana card appointment with our on-site doctor. It's a mobile cool bus. You got to check it out. DrCannabus.com. You can see on the live website, you can set up your appointment, and you can see the actual bus. It's gorgeous.
Are going to be rolling hard on St. Patty's Day, my favorite. I don't mean to scare you,
beats.
But I keep thinking it's a St. Patty's Day gear.
It's a party all
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about your business, Kelly.
Okay, so I own a company called Mary Jane Apparel, and we do have some of that apparel here today. If you stop by Ferg's, you get a little cute gift bag, so you don't have to worry about wrapping it, and we have a lot of fun stuff.
All right, ladies. So how long are you going to be, how many hours are you going to be down here?
We'll be here till 6 p.m. today.
Good idea, because it'll get really busy from about 3 on
with
all the games.
Yeah,
that's what I heard. And you'll get a lot of attention over there. Yeah, we got to get some pics before I leave the area.
Yeah, we will for sure. Thank you for having us on. Have
All
a
right.
wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
Right here in the, when you come to Ferg's at 13th and Central, under the Globe. They're right under the Globe on the parking lot, and this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun and excitement down here today. Thanks, ladies. So you didn't know you're going to be getting into this kind of activity, did you, my friend?
No, I appreciate it. It's always fun. Always fun.
Well, I know one thing. Dr. Cannabis won't be one of your stops with your military requirement.
No, I've had to avoid that. It's been interesting. You know, I can't say in college I might have visited.
You know, I've never been a weed person, but I don't put my nose down it. My daughter is in medicine, and I have terrible arthritis. They want me to get a medical card.
Oh, yeah.
And so, quite frankly, I probably am going to dive into that world here shortly. With edibles or some sort, because this arthritis is all over my body, and they say it actually works. So if it works, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
As I said, we're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. You're listening on RadioSt.Pete.com. It's the St. Pete Sports Connection. We'll be on each and every Saturday, as long as we can keep the Wi-Fi going, brother, from 12:15 until 2 o'clock. I want to thank Jor Bordeaux for all he's done to get us on the air. And it's been a work in progress. We'll start to get more bells and whistles and sound more like a normal radio production. But right now, this is like this is almost like spring training for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, as we go into 2021, a lot more flexibility and finding personalities. And I think I just found one that would enjoy this and articulate and has a wide array of knowledge. You know, I'd hate to see your IQ versus mine, pal. I'd be blown out of the water. So, again, it's Curveball at the Crossroads. If you just tuned in, it's a read. And tell us a little bit more about the basis of it.
Yep. Well, like I said, it's a book about a baseball pitcher who hurts his arm in his final game of high school. And, you know, still wants to be in the game, still wants to pitch. You know, he hinged his hopes on getting out of his small Mississippi town on being an athlete. And I'm sure that's a story that a lot of small-town athletes can definitely identify with. You know, you're trying to improve your
like your shades.
Trying to improve your lot by getting into sports, and then when that's all taken away, what do? You know, you get desperate, and you make a deal that you probably shouldn't, and you know, you make the height of your career, but that black cloud still follows you.
You know, and the reality of it, Michael, it is, and I talked about this for years in Sports Connections. So much emphasis is put into kids participate in new sports and. I'm going to have my young son. He's going to be a left-handed. I've got him throwing the ball left because I want him to be a lefty, and he's going to be playing, for the Rays someday, and just all that pressure. Well, when they fail, some of these kids, because they've been pushed, and the expectations are incredibly high. I always say, if a kid is playing ball, I don't care what the sport is, or any activity, in their high school team, they're a heck of an athlete.
Oh yeah.
Especially
Oh, yeah.
Here in Florida, where athletes
they fall out of trees.
Oh, it's unbelievable compared to Iowa. You know, we're a state of 3.5 million, and this is a state of 21 million. And I'm always proud of our athletes that can advance into the next level. But the numbers are small. Down here, it's, you know, every high school has a Hall of Fame of, you know, a dozen people that are participating in some type of pro sport. But if they don't succeed, a lot of these kids, their life's over.
Yep.
So that's why the story kind of relates to that.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it starts out of the small Mississippi. So So there was definitely I was a fan of the Toe Nash story. If you remember Toe Nash, the guy that Devil Rays were interested in.
Toe.
His nickname was Toe. T-O-E. And apparently
not Toad. Toe.
Not Toad. He was an athlete out of the Sandlots, I want to say Louisiana. And Sports Illustrated even wrote a big story on him. Peter Gammons was covering him.
What time frame was this?
Early 2000s.
Okay.
So definitely the Devil Rays low years. And Toe Nash came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, it's this big kid. And he's hitting 500-foot home runs in the Sandlots of Louisiana. And the Devil Rays signed him. And he really didn't amount to much. He had some legal problems. He wasn't the story that everybody kind of thought. But there was definitely that mythos of, you know, the kid in the Sandlots that nobody's ever heard of. And so he was definitely an influence. That story, that coming out of nowhere, just almost like The Natural, you know, with
Robert.
I love
that movie.
So just the kid out of nowhere.
Toe's an actual guy.
Toe Nash is an actual guy who did not do much in the minor leagues, and I don't even think he made it to Double A. But when the Devil Rays found him, and some scout found him, you know, just this pure athlete, and they signed him, and Peter Gammons even said, oh, it's the next great thing, you know, and everything. And he didn't amount to anything. So the beginning of the story is definitely this kid in rural Mississippi trying to get out of his small town. Out of poverty. And, you know, and it takes place in Rosedale, Mississippi. And Rosedale, Mississippi is the middle of the Delta. So the Mississippi Delta is, you know, that's where the blues started. So you've got that real blues element. You know,
do you have any history down there? Have you gone down to the area?
I've been there. I went there once in 2009. I went to Memphis for a week.
I love Memphis.
Memphis is
only for the music.
A lot of fun.
The rest of the town I'm not a fan of, but
the barbecue.
And the barbecue
and the music.
Yeah.
So went down to Mississippi, or down to Memphis, and about an hour and a half away is Clarksdale, where the blues were actually blues kind of started. That's where the mythical Crossroads is, and all these blues singers. So it's about an hour and a half drive. You drive down, and I ended up wandering into a free music festival down there too. I was like, "Oh, this is awesome!"
Perfect timing.
Oh yeah. So I just perfect. You know, found a hotel, which was tough because free music festival. There's
jammed.
People
from all over the world, probably.
Yeah, and I found a historic blues hotel that used to be. It started as a, you know, during the segregation days. It started as an African American hospital. You know, that's where they had to go. Because, you know, they couldn't go anywhere else.
Exactly.
So, it actually, Bessie Smith, who's an old-time blues singer back in the 20s and 30s, actually died there. So it is on the historical register as a place of significance. But they turned it into a hotel. And it's an old-fashioned one bathroom per, like, five... rooms hotel.
How cool was that?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Like you that appreciates history and tradition.
Oh, I got all into the history there. So I'm seeing this free blues festival. I'm staying in historical blues hotels. I ate it up. It was a lot of fun. But
too bad you don't have any world travel to you.
Oh no, I've never been out.
Afghanistan to Memphis. We're all over the world.
Nah, I've never left home.
That world globe out here, Fergs, is appropriate when describing your travels, young man.
Yeah, I should just put little X's on every spot, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, a trip like that, to see that kind of history, that really impacts you. You know, and to me, the music meant more when you go see actually where it's from and you talk to the people in that part of the country. So came back and you know, to know, to kind of visualize that area as I'm writing this book.
Well, just the creativity of melding them together is very impressive. We're interviewing Michael Lortz. He's the author of this. I don't think this will be your last publication.
No, I hope not.
Curveball at the Crossroads, and a lot of thought and blood, sweat, and years, as they say, have gone into this.
Absolutely, a lot of work.
Well, and given the fact that a lot of this work was done creatively in an area where there was a lot of angst and anguish, and you're on edge all the time in Afghanistan. Were you close to the front lines?
I was at the main headquarters bases, so no. I mean,
there's a possibility.
Oh, yeah.
You're not in a friendly part of the world by any stretch of imagination with the red, white, and blue all over you.
And you can't leave the base. So, you know, I was lucky. I spent time at a big base where you could do a little bit of walking around. It didn't feel like a prison. You know, you're just kind of confined to a base that's, you know, X amount of square miles. Instead of, you know, those little bases where you've got two or three tents.
And your role was logistics?
No, I worked or like information sharing type of stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
It's more on the operation side of the house.
As I mentioned, we're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I'm going to go over the games tomorrow here. In fact, I'll be down here tomorrow helping out with Jake and Laura and the entire gang, John, the managers. Ferg takes Sundays off, and he certainly deserves that most of the time. He might be down here to watch the Bucks games, though. But you've got the Cardinals against the Giants. Giants are actually in first place in the East, which is a sad state of affairs. I know you don't follow a lot of football, but have you seen that Eastern Division, the NFL?
I heard it's bad.
It's pathetic. Anyway, the Seahawks take on the hapless New York Jets. I've got a friend that I love him dearly. He's like a son to me, and he lives in Long Island.
Okay.
And I called him. I said, Eddie, if you took the Jets and the Giants and you merged the teams, they'd still be pathetic. How does the biggest metropolitan area in America have no NFL team? Anyway, I digress.
Don't get me started on the Knicks. I've been a long-suffering Knicks for years.
God. I can take you back to the Willis Reed and Walt Frazier days, buddy. You weren't even born. Okay, so Seahawks and the Jets. My Packers take on the Detroit Lions. Big crowd down here will be the Tennessee Titans. Actually, a lot of Tennessee Titan fans here.
Really?
It's kind of surprising. You got to come down some Sunday. It's fun to see people come down. They may have moved here, and somebody gives them, go to Ferg's. Well, then they feel like they're back at home.
Oh, yeah.
They got their jersey on. You'll see Lions fans here. You've got the Tennessee Titans against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Texans versus the Chicago Bears. Of course, as I said, 4:30. This place will be jam-packed, Michael. That's the Bucks against the Vikings, and both these teams are fighting for their playoff lives. And then you've got the Kansas City Chiefs. As far as I'm concerned, just hand them the Lombardi Trophy. They're going to win the Super Bowl for the second consecutive year. They take on the Dolphins. Big Dolphin fan base.
Yeah.
Makes sense as well.
Yeah, they're actually having a good year.
Yeah, they actually are. The Indianapolis Colts against the, I almost said Oakland, showing my age, the Las Vegas Raiders. The Atlanta Falcons, a lot of Falcon fans, migrated south from Atlanta just about 7 hours up the road against the L.A. Chargers. You know, when you're old, you got to remember that these people have moved. It's not the San Diego Chargers. It's not the Oakland Raiders. The New Orleans Saints, big contingency. Believe it or not, the Philadelphia Eagles have the entire upstairs.
Wow.
On NFL Sundays.
That many Philly fans in the area.
That Philly, I'm going to be nice. Yeah, that many Philly fanatics. But well, anyway, they're upstairs.
Yep.
And then you've got the Cowboys. I'd love to see them having horrible seasons. Against the Cincinnati Bengals, the Carolina Panthers against the Denver Broncos, the San Francisco 49ers against the Washington football team.
The no-named.
The no-named.
Or the to-be-named later.
Oh, that just drives me crazy. And then the Buffalo Bills, huge Buffalo Bills location because, but he's part of it. The general manager down here, John, is from Buffalo, and he eats that up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're having a superb season. They have only one loss. This place will be packed with Steelers fans.
Oh, yeah.
And then Monday night, it's the Baltimore Ravens against the Cleveland Browns. And that's your Sunday lineup tomorrow. Of course, the games kick off at 1 o'clock. Get down here. Most of the televisions already have a pre-designated team that will be on the air. And so just migrate to it. If you don't have your television on that particular game, Jake will switch it over. And then he just informed me that the UFC fight tonight, the pay-per-view, and it's free down here, the pay-per-view fight, UFC, will be free. Starts about 9, 10 o'clock. Are you into the UFC?
Those are fun. I don't know who's who and what's what, but those are really fun to watch.
Well, my background, I was involved in boxing in the Midwest for years. A little AAU, Golden Gloves, and USA Boxing. So I am not a fan.
Okay.
Because I love the sweet science.
Yep.
And UFC is like street fighting.
There's definitely a strategy to it. I know if I appreciate the strategy, and I appreciate,
just beating the hell out of
you. You got to grab a leg here and twist this here. So my brother was a pro wrestler for years.
Well, I was going to say, you bring the wrestler. He's a pro wrestler?
He's a pro wrestler for about 10 years.
Like WWE stuff?
Well, WWE is the major leagues.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of smaller minor league wrestling.
You're a great host. Well, you're going to be hosting this show.
I appreciate it. Well, we'll get him on. Talk to him as well at some point these days.
That'd be superb.
So, he's working.
There's minor leagues of WWE?
Sure, there definitely is.
Oh, my God.
There definitely is. And, you've got your shows in, like, the flea markets, and that's kind of like single A.
What?
Then you've got your
flea markets?
Flea markets, yeah. If I can get a wrestling ring, there's a big enough wrestling audience that wants to see live wrestling.
My God.
I'll just get a bunch of local talent, and there is a lot of local pro wrestling talent in the Tampa Bay area.
Well, the state of Florida.
State of Florida as a whole.
Off the charts.
Hulk Hogan's from here. Brian Knobbs used to come here all the time for Rays games.
Really?
Yeah. The pro wrestlers are familiar with Fergs, for sure.
Well, let me ask you this. Is your brother, was he an athlete?
He was an offensive lineman and defensive lineman in football.
Boy.
He's a big boy. But he took drama in high school as well.
Oh,
he so he had the
combo.
Theater. Oh, yeah. So
big
when you do that.
Lineman with some art background and a personality and the ability to be creative.
Absolutely. And you look at the most successful, probably the most successful person ever. It's The Rock.
The Rock.
The Rock. A pure athlete, University of Miami. You know.
Great athlete.
Great athlete. Took that skills and, grew his drama and theater and performance side to the point where he's now a top-notch actor. He's actually really good.
Well, look at Hulk Hogan.
His acting skills are not as good.
You think? Yeah, but look at the money he's made.
Oh, for sure.
Because of his fame.
For sure.
I've been to one WWE event, and that was in Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay.
I went kicking and screaming, but my son was about 8 or 9, fanatic of the Rock.
Yep.
But I snubbed my nose at it. I'd always minimize it on my radio show. So I take Benny and my son Michael, and we go. And the place is packed.
Yeah.
This arena holds 13,000.
Oh, sold
Every
out.
Every seat sold out. And we've got pro basketball, minor league basketball, trying to get 2,000-3,000 fans maybe. Arena football, I was involved in that back in the good old days. And that would fill the stadium, but not to this level. And I looked around, and I thought to myself, look at the cash.
Oh, yeah.
Now, unfortunately, don't take offense to this, the demographic, I wondered if some people's utility bills were going to be paid as they're spending $50 here and $50 there for a T-shirt. But the thing that was the most frightening is The Rock was there.
Oh, yeah.
And The Rock comes. I don't even know who the hell he is then. And here comes The Rock. And my son, Michael, he's 4 years older than his little brother. He's kind of into it. Benny is standing on his seat, and he's screaming, no, I can't think of the guy he was wrestling, but The Rock came in, and they didn't like The Rock. And my 8-year-old son is screaming at the top of his lungs, along with people my age, The Rock sucks, The Rock sucks. I go, Benjamin, sit down. he's like in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
The Rock sucks. I'm like, what kind pro wrestling of entertainment is this?
It's incredibly fan
there.
Interactive. Absolutely
oh,
fan
word.
Interactive. Sounds like you probably went. The Rock's peak was early 2000s. So wrestling
yeah,
fans
this,
are definitely
this was
vocal.
Was about 2002, 2003.
Yep.
Right then.
So wrestling
Des Moines,
fans are definitely
Iowa.
Vocal. You know, I love it.
Vocal. Vulgar.
they can get that way.
I'm just kidding.
I actually, my brother was wrestling for The Rock's uncle.
Really?
The Rock's uncle's a WWE Hall of Famer. Off of the Wild Samoan.
His father just passed away.
His
the
father
Rock.
Just passed away, yeah. Rocky Johnson was a trailblazer. Rocky
you
Johnson.
You know a lot of topics, young man.
Yeah, we could talk here for a minute. So my brother wrestled for Off of the Wild Samoan in the Orlando area because my brother is from the Melbourne Cocoa Beach area. And he...
said, you're enjoying this? I said, actually, no, because it's like they're my daughters.
Yeah.
But it sells.
Oh, yeah.
So they were my ring girls, you know, and Butterbean came in, and my God. I did actually take him to the, like, 5 hours before this exhibition, 5 hours before, I took him to the buffet at Prairie Meadows Casino. Casinos have big buffets.
Okay, yep.
Butterbean, there for like a half hour,
oh,
and
geez.
He still got in the ring. But anyway, so I'm accustomed to that. So you, yeah. So you would have the ring girls.
I would. You know, if you're hosting a wrestling show at a place like Fergs, you're getting ring girls, you're getting sex sells, you know, you're getting that kind of stuff. You might have a violent wrestler. You might have some wrestlers who do things kind of hardcore. You know, they might throw the chair in there, the table, stuff like that. But if you're doing a show for families, and that's the way that Off of the Wild Samoan would do. Kind of the old school 1980s style.
Fun stuff.
The fun stuff.
Yeah.
You have very character-driven wrestlers. And
so everybody was a character in some respect.
Everybody had some...
Good guy, bad guy.
Good guy, bad guys, clearly. clearly good guy, bad guy. Your good guy doesn't go cursing at the bad guy.
Yeah.
Everything's very family friendly because that's the kind of show he wanted to put on. So he would get, you would have football coaches bring their peewee teams.
Oh, really?
And they would be there cheering and, you know,
they'd pick good, a side.
Pick a side, go good guy, boo bad guy, whatever. And so that's what they, that's what their target was. So that's when my brother realized, you know, my brother was like, I've got to be good for those kind of fans. I can always swear on a microphone. That's
yeah,
easy.
Yeah.
It's just like being a dirty comic.
Yeah.
You know, you can always just throw some swear words in there.
Bombs, yeah.
But if I've got to get these kids cheering, yeah, it's a lot harder sell.
Well, and the bottom line is if you have family entertainment, you're going to keep mama happy.
Yes.
And she says, hey, I'm taking the boys and we're going to go to a WWE or, you know, an event. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. I just watched that the other night.
Yep.
But in that case, that makes sense. I like that idea.
Yeah. So you shoot for your demographic. So, yeah, WWE had its moments in the early 2000s where they were catering to the 18 to 32 male demographic specifically. They've kind of mellowed it out probably in the last 10 years.
I was going to ask you that. I'm talking to, of course, he. I didn't realize that the breadth of your knowledge. We're talking to Michael Lortz. He is the publisher of Curveball at the Crossroads. I'm Mike Rickard. You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection here on RadioSt.Pete.com. A beautiful day. In paradise.
Oh, it's great. This is amazing. I brought the jacket out.
It's snowing in my home state right now. My buddies, I sent a picture this morning of myself in flip-flops reading the paper to a friend of mine in northwest Iowa. I'm kind of a jackass about that.
You got to be. You live in Florida.
Come visit, I always say. Anyway, one question on the demographic. Friday nights now on Fox.
Yep.
Is dedicated, what, 2-3 hours?
2 hours of wrestling. Yeah. It's actually right here at the Trop. Did you hear about that?
No.
So WWE during the pandemic had nowhere to go. Like that, I mean, it's
at
a traveling
Trop.
It's at the Trop now, starting last night. So the pictures are amazing what they did. So WWE has been on the road. I mean, they live on the road. You said you saw them in Iowa. Yeah. It's a traveling. It's like P.T. Barnum in the traveling circus.
Yeah. Like Ferg.
So exactly.
He doesn't go anywhere.
Exactly. He brings the circus to him.
Yeah.
So WWE, obviously, it's a road traveling show. Well, when the pandemic hit, they were doing all their shows at their training center in Orlando. They got a huge million-dollar facility, and it just didn't look right. It looked like they were hosting in a practice ring, which, you know, you can tell. Your practice rings look almost like practice boxing rings versus having an event at Madison Square Garden.
Like having it in the club.
Right.
Yeah.
Total different vibe. So WWE actually turned the Amway Center into this amazing screens everywhere where fans could dial in.
In downtown Orlando. Ferg's used to have a location right down the street from there.
Really?
Yeah, at the depot. It was Ferg's at the depot.
Oh, yeah.
Church Street Station right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, awesome area to catch a Magic game or see an event. And so WWE transformed Amway Center into a place where all these monitors can look at the ring. So fans could log in. You know, it was obviously pretty competitive.
Almost like a Zoom?
Yes. It was almost like what the NBA was doing there at the end. You know, they had the wall of screens.
Oh, over in Disney?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, Disney. So WWE copied that but did it with two or three sides of because the ring is, you know, it's a square ring. So they had two, like, almost like a round. They called it the Thunderdome. They had
Wasn't that Mad Max?
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Oh, my gosh.
And actually, the Trop was called the Thunderdome at one point.
It was?
Trop was the Thunderdome when it first started. So WWE, obviously, NBA preseason.
Tina Turner was in the Thunderdome.
Yep. And Master Blaster.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that a couple months ago to refresh
myself. You weren't even
myself.
Born when that was on.
Yeah, I was.
Were you?
I was. I'm a Star Wars era.
I'm a Tina Turner fanatic.
Yeah. I was born the same year Star Wars came out, so if you want to do the math there.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, the Mad Max, I think Mad Max 1 came out about, might predate me.
I've seen them all, yep.
Yeah. But, no, Thunderdome came out, I was born. I think that was the same year Return of the Jedi came out, early 80s.
So what's your brother doing now?
Right now he's in the Melbourne area. He's trying to get back into pandemic, obviously, stopped a lot of people's physical activities. So,
if he ever gets over here, let's make certain that we get him on the air.
Oh, for sure. He's got some stories. He's got some fun wrestling stories. I'll talk to him about it all the time. He's like, oh, yeah, I wrestled this guy.
And I know what I was going to ask you. Do they, you know, when they break the chair on your back, is that actually regular aluminum chair?
Well, you know, when you practice.
You got to be fairly fit to be these guys.
Oh, for sure. You know, I mean, you're a football guy. You know, when you practice, you want somebody to hit you. You want somebody to tackle you. Like you want.
Oh yeah, because you want to be used to it.
You want to be used to it. So when they when in pro wrestling, they know how not to hurt themselves. You know, like you're not
where
gonna
to fall.
Yeah, learn to fall. All that
roll.
Stuff. But if I'm doing something, I want they take pride in, hey, make it snug. I'm not trying to give away the business here. But, you know, they say, hey, bring it. You know, we want to make this as realistic as possible.
Do they have it choreographed at the point so you're prepared for it? You just out of the blue, some guy grab a chair and surprise you and knock on your ass.
Hopefully, you got a relationship with the person that you're working with in the ring.
You can communicate back and forth.
Communicate in the ring. Hey,
all right,
that guy,
I'm going to whack you with this chair. And I'm 10 minutes into our event. Now, how long do they last? Do they have a set time or... You know, you see that one guy wins, and it's all pretty. It's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters, right?
So I really don't want to give away how the sausage is made. And that's kind of my big problem with wrestling now, pro wrestling. So many fans know how the sausage is made that they're really focusing on, that they don't focus on the fun of the event. They're like, that headlock shouldn't have followed that clothesline. That's a really bad.
So they know it's choreographed, and the diehard fans. They know where they're going.
They try to analyze it too much.
I wouldn't like that.
And I like just going. I'm like, good guy, bad guy. Well, yeah. I'm a root for the good guy, be the bad guy. Let's go.
Yeah. In sport, you know, you don't want the predictable.
No, you don't.
You know, there's a lot of predictable in sports when it's lopsided game.
Yep.
You just don't know how it's going to happen play by play. But anyway.
So to me, you know, and talking to my brother, I understand the I pick his brain on the psychology of wrestling and the psychology of the storytelling. You know, like you always want to keep your bad guy strong. Well, you know, and that's something that I brought into my book writing as well. Just good storytelling. So the devil, I'm definitely not going to give away the book, but the devil's a strong character. I knew using the devil in a story.
Did the devil reach out to this young man or was he praying for assistance down the dumps?
When he's sitting at the crossroads and wandering the dirt highways of back of rural Mississippi.
Kind of like the cover here.
Just like the cover. And he falls asleep in a tree. And the devil taps him on the shoulder and says, I have an offer for you.
You can't refuse.
Can't refuse. I have an offer you can't refuse. And so the young man makes the deal. And, you know, and so the devil does proposition him. Or, you know, it's the devil's proposal. So... And that good storytelling. So you definitely don't want to make a weak devil. You don't want to be the devil where the guy's like, I just want to break this deal. And the devil's like, okay.
You don't want to sap.
Yeah, you don't want to sap. You want to keep your antagonist strong. And that in pro wrestling, you definitely want to keep the bad guy strong. You're never going to have Andre the Giant pinned in 20 seconds.
I was going to ask you about that era. Have you followed the history of that?
I mean, I grew up in the Hulk Hogan days. Hulk Hogan body slamming Andre the Giant was like one of the defining moments of my childhood.
Well, if you go back to Andre the Giant... Muhammad Ali got in the ring with him.
Uh-huh.
Lyle Alzado, who God rest his soul, he was a professional football player.
Yep.
He got in there. There was a lot of that, and that was kind of, well, it sold tickets.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And that's wrestling is carnival. Wrestling definitely, pro wrestling actually started in the old carnivals, the traveling sideshows of yesteryear, turn of the century, stuff like that. And then it kind of became its own event, and they were able to spin it off into pro wrestling. Come watch pro wrestling.
So your brother played football.
He did.
Sports participation on your part, or you're very intellectual. I can't see you.
I was a baseball guy.
Were you?
I hurt my arm when I was like 15.
Oh, so you tried. The devil never reached out to you.
Well, the devil could have.
The devil never reached out to you. We would have probably seen you in a Devil Ray uniform.
Well, you know, I'm always
left-handed.
I am left-handed.
Oh man. Yeah, the devil did not reach out to you.
No, my Jim Morris days of coming back when I was in my late 30s kind of passed by.
Wasn't that a great story?
Oh, it was awesome.
Those are the kind of stories that I well up with when I see the Jim Morris stories of the world.
Mind if I pause for a minute? Somebody's checking out my book.
No, he's got come down here. He's going to be, how long are you going to be here?
Till about 4.
He's going to be here till about 4 o'clock. He's got his book down here. He will sign copies for you. And Curveball at the Crossroads, Michael Ortz, and I'm sure when you get off the air here, we'll get some people interested in picking up a copy of the book.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I just saw some people checking out my books. I've got about 4 of them out here. I brought over 30. So, and I'm, as I say, you know, the book sells for $20, but I'll sign and dedicate it for free if you have some late-minute Christmas shopping you still need to do.
Oh, well, most people do.
Most people do. I still haven't started.
So do I. Actually, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to re-gift. I'm going to send it in a box to my son. You got a problem with that?
Oh, I don't have a problem at all.
Yeah, he loves to read. And
so I should make it out to him?
Yeah, to Michael.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that'll be perfect.
Oh, that's
Michael,
easy.
Michael, Mike.
Yeah, that's easy.
Hey, I've been thinking about this now. I get you involved in the show, and these guys aren't on the air anymore. Mike and Mike in the morning?
Oh, we got it.
Michael and Mike in the afternoon.
Yeah, we just got to change it up a little bit. Maybe I'll put a Y in my name, kind of make the spelling look
a little
different.
There's no Mike and Mike anymore. Greeny went on his own, and Mike Golick went on his own. So we got a chance there, my friend.
Yeah, we got this.
What's the rest of your weekend look like?
I've got a Christmas / birthday party tonight with a friend of mine.
Your birthday?
No, not my birthday. My friend's daughter's birthday. Holiday shindig I got to do tonight. So I'm going to be bouncing back here from here about 4 o'clock. Go home, change, probably, get myself freshened.
Popular. Anybody that tries to add that to the list is out of my circle of trust, as Robert De Niro said.
I love the Christmas story. I love Little Ralphie.
You're back.
I love Little Ralphie.
You're back
Christmas
to my good
story.
Graces. I had the lamp. I was showing it to my family yesterday. I had the lamp in my house in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
But this time of year, I'm a nut. I mean, I think I'm a pretty good channel surfer as it is.
Oh, yeah.
But now you got college basketball, college football, NFL, and I've got all these great Home Alone 1, 2, yeah. Christmas Vacation, Christmas.
Oh, Elf. Christmas Vacation's a classic.
Four Christmases, The Christmas Story.
Yep.
Back and forth. I've only seen these movies 1,000 times. And my goofy old carcass is still channel surfing them. Oh, I'll check the score in a minute. Go back.
Yep.
I know every line. It's ludicrous.
They never get old. They never get old. Another one that I like that doesn't, I don't think gets as much play as it probably should, is Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah. I just watched that the other day.
Classic. Absolutely classic. Bill Murray's always one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. That's a great movie, without a shadow of a doubt.
Definitely.
Well, Michael, I've enjoyed this immensely.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
And I was surprised. I didn't know anything about you, and I didn't realize that I was going to have to raise my game. I'm going to have to get a thesaurus to be able to communicate with you in the future when you come on the air. And then you're going to have to tell me the breadth of the topics that you know, which is probably longer than my arm, so I can run with you during our broadcast. But this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm blessed.
All right. For Michael Lortz, Bob Bauer, and Tampa Bay Downs, Mark Ferguson, Joe Bordeaux on the controls. We had a little shaky start down here. I'm Mike Rickard. Thank you for listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. And wish you and your family a great weekend. Be sure to check out Ferg's this weekend if you're downtown St. Pete. And for all you college and pro fans, all the games will be on. God bless you, God bless America, and be sure to have a championship week.